First scripture today is Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations.
This morning's New Testament scripture is from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 22 to 30. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you're the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of my Father's hand. The Father and I are one." May God bless and lend understanding to the reading of his word. Context here is pretty important. The Jews gathered around Jesus. Now, when they talk about the Jews gathering around Jesus, this is a varied group. It was probably composed of Jewish leaders, Pharisees, Sadducees, members of the Sanhedrin, and it would also have included priests who are there hanging around the temple most of the time. But it would also, because this was a festival time, there also would have been just run-of-the-mill lay people, ordinary Jews, milling about. And they would all get lumped together in this scripture as the Jews, gathered around Jesus, asking him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you're the Messiah, tell us plainly." And his reply comes as close as the Bible comes to a modern idiom that my generation has used. Yeah, I'm the Messiah. I have told you already. He says it nicely. No, he doesn't say it like my generation would. He says, "I've told you and you don't believe." And this is the Gospel of John. It does not go to exhaustive lengths to try to compile every miracle Jesus is performing. John is probably the very earliest Christian tract that was available. The author says it was written that you may believe. If the miracles of Jesus were all compiled, I don't suppose all the books in the world would ever be able to contain them, the author of John writes. And so he edits it down for one purpose and one purpose only, so that you may believe. In fact, he narrows it down so much, there's only 7 miracles in the Gospel of John out of all of the many dozens of miracles that are listed throughout the Synoptic Gospels. And so by the time this conversation, but that doesn't mean just because there are less miracles that they are less impressive. By the time this conversation takes place in John chapter 10, 5 of those 7 miracles have already taken place in front of the people, starting off with turning water into wine, the healing of the dying son of a nobleman at Bethsaida, the healing of a man who could not walk, feeding 5,000 people with hardly anything, and healing of a man that had been blind his whole life. So when Jesus says, the works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, he can say, yeah, look at those works. Just look at those five works. Who does this stuff but God? If you needed some kind of proof, I've already shown that to you. But you do not believe because you're not my sheep. It doesn't say that they won't ever be his sheep or that they couldn't be his sheep. But right now, they are not listening. Their hearts are hardened. Their eyes are closed. Their ears are closed. And they keep saying, show us and tell us that you're the Messiah. And he's giving them one more clue that he is the Messiah, that he is God, and that is by calling himself a shepherd. Now, of course, shepherds were more common, as Penny said, back then. Lots of people raised sheep out in the countryside. But when Jesus is there in the temple calling himself the shepherd, he's alluding to scriptures, two of which we read here this morning. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 100 that Yvonne read for you, where it talks about God being the shepherd. So these are part of a scriptural tradition going back hundreds of years where God is a shepherd. And so when Jesus is saying, I'm a shepherd, he's putting himself equal on par with God. And don't make any mistake, they knew what he was saying. But he's claiming it to them, but they still aren't seeing it. They still aren't getting it. Some of them did not ever believe in him. Although there's hope. You know, the story of Nicodemus is told often. And by the way, I was in a Greek class once where the Greek scholar said it should be pronounced Nicodemus. And I thought, well, okay, no one's ever going to do that. But Nicodemus, I hope he's not mad at me. Nicodemus. No, actually, right afterwards, one of my seminary professors started talking about Nicodemus and you said Nicodemus, like, you know, that's how it's going to be pronounced. So, anyway. He was a Pharisee, and yet he later became one of the sheep. Nicodemus followed, so not everybody was going to harden their heart at this message. This was heard and followed. Now, we don't have a lot of sheep roaming around, although you can see them here on the way to the mall from Penfield. You can drive right by some sheep that are out there in the field now. Connection with Marie Sandman, who is part of this church. But we are not the kind of culture that values sheep today. I think we like our wool sweaters and suits sometimes. But if someone is sheepish, that's a bad thing, right? If they're sheepish, they've got a poor self-esteem and they won't speak up for themselves. They're too shy. And so they are undervalued by our society. Of course, self-esteem is not everything, folks. If you don't have a high self-esteem, take some comfort in this. Take some encouragement from this. They've tested, and the people with the highest self-esteem out there in the world, people that really have a high regard for themselves, are the sociopaths, serial killers, manipulators, personality disorders. Those people think they're great. So thank God you don't have a high self-esteem this morning. Well, not that high anyway. I'm sure all of us could use a boost. Well, Christians, I think we go for a different strategy for building people up. And I would call it God esteem. I mean, we've all got our problems, and we all look at ourselves, and we can see our faults so plainly. And we might say to ourselves, as I look at myself, I'm not worth a whole lot just because of my own merits. But then we have scripture saying that we are of infinite worth to God, who loves us in spite of all of our many failings. So these kind of sheep, being a sheep God's way, this is a sheep that is very much loved and cared for by the shepherd. And that's where their esteem and their sense of belonging and their sense of community comes from, is that God loves them anyway. And I realize that sheep have a reputation for not being smart, but I did run across one researcher who said that they are the second smartest animal in the barnyard. Anybody know what the smartest animal is? I heard it. The person? I don't know. I'm not sure that that's always true. What would you say? What would you say, young man? An elephant. Oh, I'm talking about barnyard animals. But yeah, I bet you elephants are smart. I heard it. I heard it. Somebody say it. The pig. Yes, the pig's the smartest animal. Dad, who grew up on a farm and was an agriculture teacher, always said the pig is the smartest of the barnyard animals. But sheep, like, are second in that. Smarter than the cows, not as smart as the pigs. Sheep can recognize people, specific people, and other sheep. And yes, they do tend to flock together, but that's for their protection, which is a smart thing to do. And they know how to discern what they're eating, what goes into their mouth as they eat grass on the field. In a solar power plant in Arizona decided to save money, to save energy, since they're a solar plant, trying to be consistent. They thought they'd try mowing their yard instead of with mowers. They had grass around all of the solar panels everywhere. They decided to try mowing with sheep and goats. Put some sheep and goats out there and see how they do. Well, the goats can cover a larger territory with just a smaller number of goats, but they'll eat all the infrastructure up. They'll eat the wires. They'll eat metal. They'll eat anything that's in the ground anywhere. And this is gross, but they also eat fecal matter without any discretion at all if they find it on the ground, and they make themselves sick. They'll eat anything. Sheep are less efficient. It takes about somewhere between 6 and 14 sheep to mow an acre of ground. But when they do it, they don't touch the infrastructure at all. The wires stay intact. Everything stays intact because they're smart enough to know not to eat that. They just eat the grass. And if there is something with bacteria in it on the ground, they avoid that. So they stay healthy. And, you know, I can attest to this again from my father's upbringing on a farm. During World War II, Grandpa was a dairy farmer. Gasoline was rationed. Grandpa used sheep to keep his grounds on his lawn and around his barn. Something like 6 to 14 sheep per acre will do a good job. And from what I've heard, the quality of their cutting is like golf course quality. Just nice and low, but not all the way in. They're not digging up the turf like other animals might. And sheep, they do respond to their master's voice, especially if that master has trained them to kind of reward them with a meal. If you go from point A to point B, I'll get you a meal at the end of that journey. And they learn to do that regularly, moving place to place. So they can recognize their master's voice. They can recognize their master's face. And Jesus is saying, you good Jews, you Pharisees, you Sadducees, all of you people gathered at God's house, you're not seeing that I'm the Messiah, even though I have showed you. But there's people out there, there's sheep out there that see it, who saw the miracles and said, who else but God can do this? And so they have turned and followed. You know, a cult leader can lead people and make people follow, but they'll lead you somewhere bad, and it will lead, and it always ends badly and in disgrace. Jesus says, learn from me. My ways are gentle, just as the way a sheep can discern through the grass what's edible and what's not. People who are following the shepherd can be gentle people who can hurt not others or the earth. Follow me, for my ways are gentle. I've shared this before, but I think it bears repeating. One of the last things Mr. Rogers said, you know Mr. Rogers, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Beautiful day for a neighbor, right? He was a Christian, Presbyterian ordained minister, actually, before he was ordained, before he became a children's show host. He graduated from Pittsburgh Theological Seminary, as I did, and so he was around when I was going to seminary. And when he died, one of the last things he asked his wife is, do you think I'm a sheep? It was important to him. And she assured him, you know, Fred, if anybody's a sheep, you're a sheep. Ask yourself that question about yourself, and I'll do the same. Scriptures promise us at the end of time, the sheep will be separated from the goats. And when God, who's looking, describes your inner character, what will God say when that day comes? You know, we've got the Bible. You've heard thousands, probably, of sermons from me and other preachers. You've all had years and years of time. How do you receive Jesus when you look at him? Do you see him as your shepherd? Do you see him as the Son of God? Do you see him as the Messiah? Is he your hope? Is he who you want to learn from? We've all been given an ample opportunity. I encourage you, if you haven't already decided to follow Jesus, listen to his voice and be a sheep.